This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A couple thousand people from Chicago and the suburbs gathered today in Union Park on Chicago's West Side for a rally and march on this May Day. It's also known as International Workers' Day. The crowd included union leaders, students, and immigrant workers. They all carried signs reading, "Defend Migrant Workers Now" and "Stop Deportations." The May Day march comes a few months after intense anti-immigrant raids under President Trump's Operation Midway Blitz in the Chicago area. Protesters are ending their march today at Daley Plaza in the Loop. People in Illinois are now being cut from SNAP benefits. The Trump administration introduced new and expanded work requirements for people who rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and those new requirements begin today. Gwen Kaiser-Michon is associate director for the Public Benefits Practice Group at Legal Aid Chicago and says her practice has been trying to help people navigate this change.
When benefits are stopping for clients, it's not because they're ineligible. It's just because they weren't able to jump through these documentation requirements or they had communication issues with the department.
The Illinois Department of Human Services estimates about 120,000 people statewide are going to lose food assistance. The state has developed a website. It's abrp.illinois.gov. abrp.illinois.gov, and you can use that website to check your eligibility. Democratic Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is calling the Trump administration's investigation into Illinois schools a sham. My colleague Isabella Nieto reports the Department of Justice on Thursday announced it will be investigating a number of Illinois school districts. This probe will examine whether students are taught about sexual orientation and gender identity and if parents are allowed to opt their children out. DOJ is also looking into whether schools restrict access to single-sex bathrooms and locker rooms. Senator Durbin issued a statement saying if the Trump administration truly cared about Illinois schools, it would finally support Head Start programs and stop attacking Title I funding and the rights of LGBTQ+ students. Schools on the list to be investigated include Oak Lawn and Noble Charter Schools. Noble runs 17 schools in Chicago. And a festival to celebrate Asian American, Pacific Islander, and Native Hawaiian artists in Chicago kicks off tomorrow. It's called Evolution Asian American Arts Festival. It features artists from a variety of disciplines, including film, music, dance, and theater. The festival's executive producer is Mia Park, who says Asian American art is often restricted to traditional acts tied to cultural heritage. And Park says she wants the festival to push those boundaries.
We've got two drag kings performing, Twinkle Masala and G.I. Jade. If we think about what Asian or Asian American identity is, they've embodied that and are even remixing it with gender identity.
The festival runs through Sunday at the Looking Glass Theater. You're listening to The Rundown. During the Trump administration's deportation campaign in Chicago, immigration agents took away a mother on the Southwest Side. Her three children were all U.S. citizens, and they were left to fend for themselves. They did for nearly 4 weeks until a 27-year-old woman, a stranger, stepped in to help. And my colleague Chip Mitchell sat down with her.
Isabel Conde heard from a relative about the three kids, ages 17, 14, and 6. The oldest, she reached him by phone. He agreed to let her visit. Their apartment was in Chicago Lawn.
What I noticed right away was the two girls huddled up together in the door frame in one of the bedrooms.
Huddled?
Yeah, like embracing each other, basically. I led the meeting. I wanted to get all the basic facts, financially, what was going to happen with their apartment, you know, medically, what did they have, you know, health insurance, and then legally, what's going on with the mom's case.
Isabel found out the mother had entered the U.S. 2 decades earlier as a teenager. She was raising the 3 kids on her own. She had no criminal record, but on October 12th, immigration agents picked her up just outside the apartment. They moved her to a detention center in Kentucky. At the apartment, Isabel made a list of all the adults in the kids' lives who might be able to take them in. The father of the 2 teens, he'd gone back to Mexico. The 6-year-old's father was still in Chicago, but
not employed, could not get a job, and had health and legal issues, and was just frankly not able to care for her.
Isabel tried everyone.
Aunt, uncle, the neighbor, godparents, no one was able to take all 3 of them. And they had already faced this horrible loss of their mom so suddenly. The last thing they wanted was to be separated again.
Isabel had been working as a paralegal, so she knew the kids were vulnerable while their mother was detained. It was only a matter of time before someone called the state, put them in a shelter. They could be split apart.
Yeah, so then one night I got a call from the kids, and they were in a park, and they shared with me that they left their home and were afraid because the father of the youngest was telling them that he was going to separate them. I was with my mom, and we just got in the car and drove immediately to that park.
It was dark. The kids were pulling a wagon loaded with clothes and a blanket. They were planning to sleep in the park.
I looked at them and they were scared. I just knew that I could not bear the idea of them being separated.
Isabel's apartment had just 2 bedrooms. She decided it was big enough.
I was able to take the kids to my house that night.
This apartment right here?
Yeah.
Where did you put these 3 kids?
I put them in my living room. So right here, my dad had an extra queen size bed and a twin bed. And so he brought over both of those beds.
They spread them across the living room. Isabel brought in the wagon and threw the kids' clothes in the wash.
I knew for a fact that I was going to have them for that weekend, probably the next week, to work on talking to extended family members and seeing if there was a way to move them.
Isabel also took charge of getting their mother out of immigration detention. She found a pro bono attorney. The legal battles stretched over weeks, then months, and Isabel did her best for all 3 kids.
I would drive them to and from school every day. Once we got temporary guardianship paperwork signed by their mom, I was really able to start making sure that all of the medical needs were being met. And then I got them into mental health therapy, each of them, because they experienced a severe trauma, and making sure they were getting any resources they needed from, like, social workers at school. My mom, she would come several nights a week and help me care for the kids. She's the art teacher at Ravenswood Elementary School, and they held a fundraiser for us. And I also tapped into community networks, mutual aid funds.
With all the help, Isabel could pay the rent on the family's apartment, so it would be there if the mother got out.
We took them to the zoo lights, the trampoline park. We went to the children's museum, the aquarium. The youngest grew out of her clothes, like, right away. She was just hit a growth spurt. And so we had to get just new clothes for everybody, too. They had tamales with us at Thanksgiving, gifts for Christmas to open, and we just really, like, made them a part of our family.
But Isabel was under increasing stress. Less than 2 weeks into the new year, she started grad school. It wasn't easy with the 3 kids in her apartment. She needed their mom released from immigration detention.
I would pray every night, ask that these children could be reunited with their mother.
On January 27th, 2.5 months after Isabel took in the kids, a federal judge in Kentucky ruled the mother's detention was unlawful. He ordered her immediate release. The attorney arranged for volunteers in Kentucky to drive the mother to Indiana, to a spot there that Isabel could reach.
I immediately rented a van and picked up the kids from school and was like, guys, like, let's go get your mom.
The kids were finally reunited with their mother.
We came back to my apartment. My family, they made pozole and fed her. We gave her fresh clothes, and then she just fell asleep with her kids in my living room.
They stayed with Isabel a few days before returning to their apartment in Chicago Lawn.
And that was that. They were back in their home and back together.
And you were here.
Yeah, and then I was here, and my office that turned into the girls' room was just empty, and so much of the house was just empty, and I was really sad. I was really sad. I love them, and it was the goal all along to reunite them with their mom. But I missed them because we were all like a family for a while.
This spring, the 17-year-old, the boy, he's graduating from high school. The 14-year-old's having a quinceañera. The other girl's finishing kindergarten. The mother, the next hearing in her immigration case, has been postponed to 2028. She's got time to plan for any outcome. Meantime, she has qualified for a work permit. And Isabel has wrapped up her first semester of grad school. But she still misses those kids.
After protecting them for so long, I wanted to just keep being with them all the time. But I knew that it was just the way of things and the way of love.
She had to let them go. Chip Mitchell, WBEZ News.
Weather, partly sunny today, a few light showers, high in the upper 40s, and then tonight, partly cloudy, some spotty rain, patchy frost, a low in the upper 30s, and the weekend, sunshine on Saturday, a high near 50, a few showers on Sunday, and a high in the mid-60s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thank you for listening.